Dragon Ball is about to get an announcement at an expo, and today we're talking about that.
Nano! Can I just say, real quick, I love when you do an intro about some Dragon Ball news, or just any news. Sometimes this happens with a lot of your intros, and I have no idea what you're talking about or what you're even basing this on. I've seen no like tweets, no leaks, not a single forum post.
I came here with the info, man. Listen, this is not a podcast moment today.
Is this a nanogenics leak?
Actually, I don't wish. I don't want to be involved in a leak.
Hold on.
I don't.
Joe Kidd too close to home. That's my bad.
Last week we did a pretty bad job, I think, of differentiating it for some of the people because we were talking about two separate things. And we focused heavily on the Toyotaro's drawing being turned into a figure. We focused heavily on that while also not really focusing enough on the fact that he will be at the Japan Expo in Paris on July 6th for an announcement. So this, and we didn't get to expand on this at all. So this is an actual real confirmed thing. And this was the thing that got misconstrued where we talked about this on the podcast. Now this will be our third time talking about it, where people thought it was going to be a new manga announcement from him that was going to be nothing to do with Dragon Ball. But it is Dragon Ball. And what I wanted to bring up, I specifically want to bring this up to you, Dotto, because I saw a comment and I think it wouldn't be funny, but I just want to see your reaction to this. And someone said, in before, it's just a Daima recap, but in manga form.
I've seen this going around, like people saying this, and I just want to kill myself. Like that can't be real, bro. Cause like what that is, and maybe I shouldn't feel so passionately about this, but what a gigantic waste of everybody's time. All it does to me is, all it does is feed YouTube shorts makers. That's it. All it is like five differences from the manga to the anime. Like that's all this is for. It's to be mildly interesting 20 years from now. That is the most boring shit available.
I want to believe that there's no one here that would say that they would want that, but I'll open the question to you guys. Would you want a manga adaptation of Daima? Or since the manga has not moved on since like 2022, are you just ready for the manga to move on? Because we had what did we talk about this last week? Superhero was roughly 2 years of the manga's time frame or something like that. It took 2 years to get through the superhero. So we genuinely, which ended now a little over a year ago. So we have not progress the storyline in the manga for genuinely like coming up on 3 years. So I can't imagine there's too many people that would want to see. I mean, what would even be the purpose of Daima getting adapted to the manga? And I don't even think this will be the case, right? Like there's separate entities. And so I doubt they even want to even touch Daima in the manga. So my guess is it will come back and it will be a continuation with Black Frieza. But who knows? Like who knows what the weirdness of Dragon Ball right now? But how quickly would you go soft if it's just Daima? And like
what a way to put that. I'd pretty much immediately flaccid. Immediately. Yeah. It wouldn't even take it all but like one. You remember when actually it would kind of be poetic. You remember when Daima was first shown off and they were like, not magic. Oh, that would be my exact reaction instantaneously. Also, hopefully this isn't a topic, but I just saw this across my timeline and it has now become my activity that I'm doing on my monitor as we talk about this.
Okay.
Have you, and I hate to segue off too heavy, but have you seen that IGN is selling merch with like the 10 different shirts? Dude, I'm buying all of them right now. I want it to be a bit on this podcast where every day, maybe I'll like leak my key moments review scores, bro. Maybe I'll wear the IGN shirt.
Wait.
Tie your shit, you know what I'm saying? So I'm getting, I'm going to run the total. So in the background, as we discuss these topics, I'm going to see how much every single one of these shirts is about to run me.
So the most I wanted to really go into this, just trying to predict it a little bit because of the topic last week, which again, people got a little bit confused on, which again was totally fair, was they did an announcement to announce that they were making a figure based off of a drawing from Toyotaro. Like that was the thing that we were like, you know, the Dragon Ball situation is stupid. A lot of people have a lot of comments on our titles, by the way, for the podcast, which is very interesting. Just watch and just enjoy, bro. Like, I don't have to tell you. But do you think this announcement, and he's going to get there at Japan Expo Paris, and it's just going to be a one-off chapter? It's going to be an announcement that the manga is coming back, but it's just announcing that it will resume at some point? Or do you think there's some actual, like, meat and potatoes? Like, what are we, like, what, I would say for me, my expectations are at the most, like, bare minimum they've ever been for anything. So it really could end up just being, like, another one-off, right? Because we got that one-off chapter with Goten and Trunks a few months ago. And so it could just be another one-off situation. It may not actually be a continuation. My expectations for what they could possibly announce are incredibly low. Where how are you feeling, Dotto? Like, on a scale from 1 to 10, like, masterpiece or
3?
I can't. What's a 3? You got it in front of you because it says it on the shirt.
I actually did. I already had 3 in the cart, but I jumped in front because why would you ever expect anything good as a Dragon Ball fan to happen to you? Not to start, not as the Dragon Ball podcast guy, but come on, bro. Like, expecting a lot out of an announcement is. And you know, this is probably a topic.
Dude, just as an asterisk, as a Dragon Ball fan, or maybe an Arxis one too, but as a Dragon Ball fan.
There it is. Go ahead, bro. Get your licks in. But yes.
But as a Dragon Ball fan, yeah, we've come to expect announcements to be like the most minuscule thing ever, which, by the way, is insane to do to a Dragon Ball fan when Super ended. I mean, unless I've just gaslighted myself into thinking this, they didn't say it was ending. Like, it was just meant to be on, like, a break. I swear that's how it was advertised. Maybe I'm losing my mind with that. And the manga as well was just supposed to be on a hiatus. But at what point do we stop calling it a hiatus or calling it a break when we're, you know, with the anime 7+ years in since the break started, and with the manga now, you know, a little over a year, which, again, the manga, different situation because of the passing of Toriyama. But, like, at what point, at least with the anime specifically, are we like, okay, it's not a break anymore. It's just done. it's just over, Dotto. Like, it's done. Like, what? Like, by the way, a 3 is awful. A 3 on the IGN review score is awful. Examples include...
If IGN gives you a 3, you actually release something that blows up the console. I've never seen IGN go below
Have you heard of these games? Let's see if you've heard of these games.
Little mini game. Okay, IGN mini game. I like it.
Devil's Third.
Devil's Third is a Wii U game, or at least I know it is a Wii U game.
Oh, wow. Okay. Raven's Cry.
No, never heard of that.
Left Alive. Wait.
I think that's a pirate game that, like, focuses on a raven. It is pretty bad. Left Alive, no. Never heard of it.
Wait, that is what that is. How do you know that? Anyway, Left Alive, Fighters Uncaged.
Never heard of that one. That's a miss.
Okay. I'm not done. Let's just do a few more here. 2 is Painful by IGN. Their examples are The Culling 2. I'm aware of The Culling.
That is real. And that's a 2, by the way. That should be a 1.
And then...
Literal Scam.
Fast and Furious Showdown. I believe that's the PS3 Fast and Furious game. It is. It's the PS3. Quantum Theory, which I always thought had a really, really cool like cover art. And if I'm not mistaken, it's a Gears of War like.
Say the name again?
Quantum Theory. Are you Googling this? Because I need you to see the cover art for this.
Quantum.
Because it has a really cool cover, like the cover specifically, and it definitely looks kind of like Marcus looking up at like a tower.
This is a bootleg. This looks like emo Marcus.
Yeah,
I would probably play this low key. I mean, if teenage me saw this, this would have been so badass.
That's an IGN 2. The last one is
by Koei Tecmo too. I definitely would have played this.
The last one's Fighter Within, and then. Lastly, we have a 1, which is Unbearable. I don't know if I've ever seen this. Their examples are Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Step Up. They made a Step Up game? Like, oh, it's WiiWare. Okay, I thought it meant Step Up as in, like, the dancing movies. Anyway, and Self-Defense Training Camp, which is an Ubisoft game that came out in 2011.
Not shocking to say the least.
What if that was Ubisoft a Kinect game? You think that was a Kinect game? You think you had to like actually like play with your body? I don't know.
Being honest, any one for those games is kind of like, all right, like it's whatever. You know, it's not too crazy. I would expect ones for those.
What do they give Gollum? Do you remember Gollum?
Oh my god, I can't even believe that's a real game. That should be a 2.
You think so?
I believe so, yes.
Hang on, I gotta find it. IGN, Lord of the Rings, Gollum review. No way. They gave this a 4.
I mean, IGN for a 4 for IGN is basically spitting in the dev's face, so.
I mean, 3 points up and you've got Sparking Zero, Dotto.
Again, that's IGN in general, bro. Like, that's the way it is.
Fair. Anyways.
This is bad, bro. I don't have my card. Hold on. I need to... I'm not going to go anywhere, but I need to text Kenzie. This is an emergency. How will I buy my IGN review shirts?
Dude, I've got 2 of my cards memorized, so I could just type them in. I could literally list you out two of my cards right now.
That's big business nanogenics, though.
Yeah, I genuinely, like... But we'll be driving, and my wife's, like, trying to order something, and she's like, what's the card again? And she'll ask me to, like, now she's gotten used to it, but she'd always ask me, like, to hand it to her, and I'm like, I can just tell you. And she's like, that's so impressive. I'm like, yeah.
Damn, hold up.
Anyways.
Credit card Riz.
Let's keep it on Dragon Ball for one more moment. We haven't done this in a while. We did this a lot with Daima, where we pulled comments from the videos, because, you know, I pay attention to what you guys say down there. And someone commented about Gekshin Squadra, the latest Dragon Ball game that just did a network test and is on, like, everything that you guys can play. Well, it's not out yet, but it was, and it will be. I don't know why I'm making this sound like a hashtag ad right now, so I'm going to stop. But someone commented, Dotto, that they could join and become a key member by clicking the join button here on YouTube or going to patreon.com/keymoments to save a couple bucks over there on Patreon to get access to all of our bonus content. If you've never been a key member before, you get access every single time we make a podcast, we make bonus content. So that means there are like 80 plus pieces of bonus. Actually, I believe it's more than that, but still 80 plus pieces of bonus content available to you over there right now. As soon as you join, like, bonus podcasts, which we'll be doing one today, our reactions to Dragon Ball Z up until where we're at with the Z rewatch, all of our reactions to Dragon Ball Daima, the new hit Dragon Ball series, gameplay videos, and just bonus random shenanigans you can find available over there, patreon.com/keymoments, or join right here on YouTube. But the actual comment said, you can unlock characters in Legends too if you're willing to dedicate a 9-to-5 for them versus forking over your wallet. These games aren't made for free-to-play people. They're just casinos with Goku's face at the door. I wanted to really address this because we talked about it a bit in the previous video. Gekshin Squadra, at least again, based on what we know right now, is not gachifying characters, so comparing it to Legends or Dokkan is completely inaccurate. It is not a gacha game in that sense, where you are gacha, you're having to do gacha to get characters. The characters can be unlocked through guaranteed means, not what you like. This person said you can unlock characters in Legends too if you're willing to dedicate a 9-to-5 for them. Not necessarily, because you could farm up every like free-to-play currency possible in Legends and still not walk away with every character. It's like actually not possible, probably, unless you just have like the most god tier luck of all time.
I'll say right now, it's less than not like it's most likely you won't.
Yeah.
Bro, I want that Kaioken Goku so bad, and I've given up, bro. I've legitimately, maybe I shouldn't say that, bro, I put in like $50 for a Kaioken Goku that I probably wouldn't even use for longer than a week. And I can't fucking get the guy, bro, with anniversary step ups and everything. I can't do it.
Dotto, okay, so this is funny you're saying this. So I went to go check my friends list because I was curious where everyone's rankings were out of my friends. And I hadn't seen Diddy yet. And all of a sudden I saw your name and I was like, wait, I was like, did somehow Diddy and I get like unfriended or something? Because it's ordered based on the last time that you logged into the game. That's how they order your friends list. So the people that have logged in within like a couple minutes ago be the top people that logged in. I have some people that I've kept on my friends list since they got banned. They did a ban wave like 6
Ooh,
years ago.
I remember that.
Yeah. And I've kept them on my friends list just because I think it's funny, and I'll text him occasionally and be like, man, there's your account. Anyway, he was buying like cheap chrono crystals, and who can blame him in a gacha game?
I remember, bro, like that ban wave. God, I wish we had a podcast back then. That was a fun. I don't even think I was making YouTube videos. I just remember like watching it all unfold.
Legends came out after Fighters, so you would have been making.
Oh, this was a Legends ban wave. Never mind.
Oh, okay, okay.
I was definitely thinking of like a Dokkan ban wave.
There were Dokkan ban waves too.
There was a much funnier Dokkan ban wave.
The one you're probably referring to on Dokkan is people discovered that you could dupe items in your gift box. So if you had like, by the way, back in the day, there's a mechanic in Dokkan which you raise their super attack, and you can raise it up to level 10. The way to raise super attacks in Dokkan is you either need the exact same copy of characters to get 100%, or a thing known as an Elder Kai. And people would dupe stones and Elder Kais because those were two, like, obviously the most, like, premium currency you could have in the game at the time. And they discovered there was something they could do. I don't remember what it was. I never did it because I would not risk using my account over it. But you could dupe stones and Kais in your gift box. And people that did that lost their accounts. Boom, bada bing, bada boom, gone.
And yeah, dude, so that was a fun time. I was like, because it was like everybody was like, am I on the chopping block? Who's on the chopping block? Like, it was crazy, dude. Ah, Bandwaves. It's just entertaining time to like watch a community from afar.
Yeah, no, that one was always interesting. Also, the other one too, I used like a specific APK for my JP account because it was like the one I used like not as my main. And so like for a while, which then I used my JP account for a really long time. And like, cause there was APKs that could let you insta win. There were APKs that could make it to where you could have like the specific dice roll on the board. So you could pick up exactly what you wanted. And I liked using that one cause it would always give you a 1, 2, and a 3. And I would always use that one on my JP account, especially when it wasn't my main. And I used insta win some too, because my account was so bad. Like it was so bad. I had nothing on there. And so I couldn't beat anything without insta winning, and farming medals back in the day was so difficult. And so I used it on that JP account. That JP account is still around to this day. And now it's my side account that I'm currently letting like rot until it'll give me a comeback campaign so I can get free stones. Yeah, you got to gain the system. I don't even know if I'll ever even really use the JP account too much anymore, because now they're synced up. I really have no reason to use both of them, but I'm holding on. People always ask, what are you going to do with it? I don't know, dog. I'm like, hold on to it, man. There's like so much time and money investment in that account. I'm not just like going to give it away. That's crazy. Anyways, back to this comment. It's not the same thing at all, because Gekshin Squadra, again, as far as we're aware, is like any other MOBA and has direct paths to unlock characters, and there's no gotchification to the acquiring of characters. It cannot be compared to a Dragon Ball Legends or a Dokkan Battle literally at all. I just want to point that out, that like that game is actually not a casino with Goku's face at the door. The only thing that we've seen them gotchify are cosmetics, which again are something that you don't need at all, and at least in this game right now do not offer you any type of stat boost, and I pray that they keep it that way. That's how it needs
to
stay.
I will be the first one to not fucking play that shit as soon as that happens. Right now it is a casino with Goku's Yardrat outfit at the door.
Yeah, not Goku himself. Not Goku himself. There was another comment that I wanted to bring up too, and they said Nano's right about Gekshin. Thanks. I'm not trying to play a Dragon Ball game that only features two characters from this century.
Ooh,
spitting.
Bro, hey. There are some new gens out there. You got to think like it's Super's what, 10 years old now?
Yeah, like Super turns 10 like this month. So, like you imagine kids that were like just like the generation past us, right? Kids that were born in like the mid 2000s that were like 10 when Super came on or something, that are now 20.
Damn, Super, you didn't have to say it like that. That's fucking crazy, dude. Being 10 when Super came out, like you're a full grown adult. Yep. You can drive a car, and you're like, damn, I remember back in my day when Goku went Blue Kaioken, and that was crazy.
Exactly. They were like 12, and now they're 20. So, like,
Hold up, bro. Hold up. Maybe we do need Goku Blue in this game, bro, because the kids don't have anything yet.
That dude, that's what I'm trying to say with this game, and people are like, nah, we need these more. I'm like, no, dog, we need some blue, we need some red. Like,
this is why the Saiyan Saga is not hyped no more, bro. It's too old school, bro. Like, this is bro, and they're coming for the fucking, they're coming for Super Saiyan next, and then they're gonna come for Teen Gohan, bro. Like, it's over. 10 more years, Super Saiyan 2 Gohan's not gonna be hyped no more.
Whew. I mean,
be honest, one more wave of Super and he's washed.
There's a comment about that too, but we don't really have to dive into that. Dotto, did you see that we actually have a date for the first Daima DLC for Kakarot?
No, I did not.
July 17th.
That's pretty soon, ain't it? Wait a minute.
Actually, the next month gets pretty interesting because within the next month now, we've got the Daima DLC, we have the Hunter x Hunter game, we have the Demon Slayer game. So I feel like the Dotto Doi YouTube channel is about to be eaten.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like Daima all too much. I mean, not Daima. Whoa. But Kakarot all too much, but I'll give it a shot.
I think this is where Daima as an idea will really shine.
I do agree with that, just because there's going to be more time to actually explore stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I want to be able to run around, like, that town they visit, that we only get to visit for, like, 10 minutes while he goes and fights Tamagami 3. I want to be able to run around in Demon World 3, which, by the way, is the only place we'll really go. Maybe this will end. I'm guessing this ends at Tamagami 3. I'm going to just go out on a limb, and I'm going to assume that the finale of DLC 1 is Tamagami 3, and then when we get DLC 2, which is supposed to be in January to March of 2026, holy damn, that will cover from, like, Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta all the way through, Super Saiyan 3 Mini Vegeta all the way through till the end. Maybe this will go to Super Saiyan 3, but I doubt it, because there's probably not really enough of Daima post episode 8 to supplement, like, I'm sorry, there's not enough of Daima left to supplement post Mini SSA 3, because it's only eight episodes, and like three or four of those basically nothing happens in. So I don't really know what they would really do with it. So my guess is that this goes to Tamagami 3, which there will be plenty of content in up until that point. Because that's where me and Dotto at least both agree. For the most part, Daima shines a bit more there. By the way, I had one more comment for you here.
Here you go. Take it away, Nano.
Next topic. This has nothing to do with Gekshin, but I felt like you'd want to hear this comment.
Is this rage bait or is it nice?
It actually is nice. So the episode specifically was titled Dragon Ball is Back, which I believe we're being a bit cheeky on, because this was us reacting to and discussing episode 8, which is the Tamagami 3 episode.
This is an old school one.
Yes. But they just left this comment. But we got a lot of criticism for titling this Dragon Ball is Back because Goku went Super Saiyan and fought Tamagami 3. Anyway, okay. The comment says, it's so funny coming back to this episode after the end of Daima. Dotto's ass got fried for what he said, but he was so right. Quote unquote, adventure focused my ass. The best parts of the show were the meathead parts, and anyone who disagrees is delusional.
Oh, I didn't think he'd be so real. Hey, what was the user's name again? Hold on. Endo, appreciate that. Go. Yeah, you just kind of, you speak the truth, bro. You speak the truth. Which, again, like, I'm going to dial it back a little bit for you, Endo. Like, dude, post 3, like, that was a good, like, little adventure, you know? Like, I can't lie. Nano, remember when we went back? The most eye-opening part of the show is when we went back to re-review the episodes.
Yeah.
And in my head, I was like, okay, this, because this was after everybody had already, like, I'm not going to lie, I believe when people paint my opinion to be that I was harsher, I was like, all right, I was probably too harsh. But looking back, you know, 3, the adventure was good. Like, the adventure was really flowing on 3. And then we re-reviewed them, and I was like, you know what? I was wrong back then. I'm going to give it this score. And that score was lower than what I had before. I was like, wait, I've been right the whole time. What are we talking about? Like, dude, we judged it accurately, I think. And then after Demon World 3, the adventure fucking, it stops. We get Planet Giga, and then that is it. We get some squid fights, and that's all, dude. That is genuinely it for the adventure. We go to Demon World 1. And there's no adventure at all. They fly in. War immediately starts. We waste an entire episode on Beta Ginyu Force that I can't even tell you not one of their names.
Gendamari is the Gendamari Force, but
Gendamari Force.
Gendarmari, however you say it. Anyway, but yeah, I
wouldn't be able to tell you one. No, I can't even tell you.
Can you name the 5 Ginyu Force right now that you can?
Jace, Birder, Raccoon, Ginyu, Jace, Birder, Raccoon, Ginyu, Goldo. Bang!
He did it.
Bang.
Don't take his Dragon Ball card away yet, you guys, man. He got it.
Don't freak out on me. But also, I can't remember the king's name. Anybody that wasn't in the main, I can't. What was Nahare? I can barely remember one of the main's characters' new name. I don't know, dude. That show, it was. Whatever. We're not even talking about Daima. It's just very easy to get me. Daima is very triggering now. Still a good time. You should definitely watch it.
No, I still think it's worth the watch for sure. I mean, I just think...
I mean, it's a beautiful show. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, we don't have time for me to dive into all the different things I think they could have done differently. I did see a comment, though, that... Or sorry, a tweet, which is something else I wanted to to bring up, but
we got to do a call-in episode one of these days. I think it would be very therapeutic, not only for us, but anybody that disagrees with us. I think they also deserve their chance to have a therapeutic, like they explain their point of view. I think that'd be great.
Someone said that was someone coming on another video and said, I really wish that there was a third voice here because Dotto and Nano were just agreeing too much.
Hey, full disclosure. I've said that every time. I'm like, Nano, this podcast sucks. Where's the controversy? Where's the disagreement?
Yeah, we used to not agree as much. We'd be agreeing a little too much lately. I don't know. Maybe I got to start being a contrarian just for the sake of it.
Yeah, we need to bring on a contrarian full-time employee that only talks when we both agree on something.
But someone commented, by the way, and said that we're starting to pull from Twitter a little too much, and that it was a bit at the beginning. But we're starting to make Twitter comments actual. I
agree on that, and I noticed that every episode we do it, which is why I've started saying, "Here comes the what I read on Twitter section this week," which I've started noticing that since we got that original comment where it was like, "Guys, not everyone uses Twitter."
I think the Twitter like populace has probably decreased a lot. I bet a lot of people don't really use Twitter anymore, and I don't really blame you, man. That site sucks now, to be honest.
Hey bro, I'm gonna be honest. The reason I talk about it is it's still my go-to. Like the reason I like it is because it's like a Facebook or like a social media site, but it's not too personal without being too like distant either. Like, and also I do think it's like, you know, it's just, you can see a lot of different stuff on there. So that's, I genuinely still use it. Like when I have a browser open, Twitter is probably open in one of the tabs 90% of the time.
Well, I think that a lot of, like, I use it to keep up with my, what I would consider quote unquote, like coworkers. Like I don't be texting all y'all, but like, I like to see like what y'all be tweeting about, you know what I mean? Just kind of see what are you guys up to? Like, that's almost kind of how I view it. Cause how else am I seeing what you guys are up to otherwise?
Like, yeah, I get that. Twitter, that's one of the reasons I use it.
Like, the virtual, like, break room for me with a lot of you guys.
Kinda. It's like that for me too, but I use it for like, it's basically like a bunch of forums in one. Like I use it for like gaming news. Sports is a big one. I love, like tweeting about sports because like you just like when Halliburton like tore his shit up, like I was like, oh, I gotta see how people are reacting to that.
Dude,
shit,
he, you know, it's he like, knew too, like you could see it all over his face, like he knew right away
that
like,
shit,
like
shit, yeah, was bad. No, that I mean, I had a couple of my friends over and we were watching, and what I feel bad because what my one friend was looking down at his phone, but like when it's like it, there was no question. It was done. Uh-huh. Like the way his whole shit reverberated, man, it might as well have been a cartoon the way that shit snapped. No offense if Halliburton's a big Key Moments fan. I think you definitely had it, bro. If that didn't happen, I think he was going to go off that game. I know he was about to pop off, but yeah, no, that was over. Anyway, that's what I use Twitter for. Just in case, cause I get it. We have been bitching about it a lot. Coincidentally, but it's good because usually it's contrarian and we need that here, bro. Like me and Nano be agreeing too much. So it was trying to solve issue one and we accidentally created issue two. So now we just need to create issue three, which I think is going to be us like hopping on Facebook. But what do you think about that?
Dude, honestly though, Twitter's kind of turned into Facebook a little bit. So I don't think we really even have to go over there for that.
I was about to give an opinion. Ooh, I stopped myself though. It's going to be... I was going to bring up Blue Sky from Blue. Whenever I be seeing some shit from Blue Sky, I'm like, I cannot have an account on there, dog. Like there's just no way.
I tried it and somebody took my name and then messaged me and said, hey, like, just letting you know, just hit me up when you're ready to like trade off. And I did that and they have never came back. They've never came back.
They got your ass. I wonder if they're ever going to get rid of that ugly ass, like next to your name, it says like bsky.app.
No. That's an integral part. The whole thing about that is that you can have your own domain. So I could technically get Nanogenix. I just wouldn't have like Nanogenix at nanogenix.bsky.social. I have like at Nanogenix, like a web address or something like that. That's kind of the whole.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just being honest. I think it looks ugly.
But them not like, I don't even know if this person literally is even around anymore. Like they've not responded to a DM since Monday, October 28th of 2024.
So damn, you had that number ready, man.
I pulled it up. I pulled up Blue Sky. Since I hadn't launched Blue Sky in months, but when you said that, I decided to go over there and check it out. Dotto, the next topic, because I totally forgot what I was going to say when I mentioned Twitter, but that's completely fine. Was this tweet that I saw you actually quote tweet, which we're a little bit late to this. I just wanted to talk on this just briefly. Was because, you know, we do a bit of gaming discussion here on this podcast too, but. The game business, most third-party Switch 2 games posted very low numbers. One third-party publisher characterized the numbers as below our lowest estimates despite strong hardware sales. Cyberpunk 2077 was the best-selling third-party game. So
I know exactly what you're talking about. Go ahead, bro.
Somebody responded to this tweet and said, main issue, gamers aren't buying game key cards for games they can't physically own. Side issue, releasing games for games that have already been out for a premium price while those very same games are on sale on Steam and PS5. Side issue two, gaming is a luxury now more than ever. I don't know that I agree with that, by the way.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. That's a woke tweet. That's a woke moment. We are definitely lying to ourselves if we're saying main issue is game key cards. That is not the case. One, physical sales, whatever, dude. You're already on the side issue. In my opinion, I think the main issue, number one, is that it's just games that people already own. Why are they buying them on Switch 2 to run worse and be worse? And don't get me wrong, game key cards also, like, I like buying stuff.
They turn me off. I will definitely say.
They turn me off, too.
What's the point of buying? I get there's a point because I can still trade it in. It can still be, like, exchange to somebody else because, like, the actual game, the actual license to the game is on the game key card itself versus like me buying it on my NanoJinx account. And then now it's forever tied to the NanoJinx account. But there is something about buying a freaking empty piece of plastic that has another empty piece of plastic on the inside that is just the rights to download the game that I just don't want to do. Like,
I don't like it either. It completely gets to me too. I'm not buying any physical game key card game. I'm not going to waste my time. But there's no way in hell that you can talk about game sales and anything doing with like to do with physical sales has anything at all to do with that in anything more than being a side issue. Like calling that a main issue, I think is whatever. Also calling gaming a luxury, I think is also like, I don't even know why people say that. Like, what are you talking about? Other games are selling well. It's not gaming's a luxury, which it is.
But
literally other games are selling more. These games are not doing something that the other games are. That one I would have removed off the list entirely.
I had to pick it up.
Damn, Robot Physical Cyberpunk 2020. What is it's 2027, right?
2077.
It's 2077, right?
2027. You think we're going to be in a world like this in like 2 years?
I completely forgot. Ew, is that what it looks like inside? That's the real game. Oh, it's all red.
It looks like inside. Yeah, people have a very harsh opinion about Switch 2 cases for some reason. I don't think they look that bad, but...
I like the case. No, the case looks good, like the all red. I don't like the all red cartridge. That was a little much. A lot of red going on in there. I'm going to be honest, guys. Physical games fell off like crazy, bro. Like opening up that package to nothing but a little tiny cartridge. Like that's sad. And like a collectible trading card that they put in there because they didn't want it to just be empty. Come on, man.
Those are trading cards, by the way.
What is that?
Those are stickers.
Where's the love?
Yeah, those are stickers. It is cool though that they have male and female V. That's pretty cool.
It's cool stickers. I mean, I appreciate they put it in there because it would have been nothing regardless.
Oh, wait, look, I got two of the same.
What are those? Your legend starts here.
Yeah, I can't show the other side because it's my goodies that I can get for buying it.
Yeah, and you know me, I would, as soon as I see those, I would just run instantaneously to claim them.
Anyway, I got this to make a video. I want to compare it on running on the Switch 2 versus like an ROG Ally. I just want to see. I wish I had other games around me right now because you bring up the emptiness of it. I've been buying so many old games and like, yeah, there's something special about opening that up to like a manual, you know, and you can like...
It used to be hefty, tangible, dude. And again, this is why I said it's woke, bro, because this is just old people talking about the good old days, bro. But I remember, like, what does a kid do now? You know, even if you did go on that GameStop trip with like your mom, get the game... Like, I used to crack that shit open, and I'd fucking smell the case. I'd read the manual and be like, oh, no way, this is so cool. I know all the controls now. I know the story, the lore. But no, now you just crack it open and what? Like, you lick your Switch 2 cartridge because it has that weird taste?
No, dude. So, crap, I lost my train of thought. Fuck!
Nano, you said, and you just DM'd me, you said, I'm gonna throw the Switch 2 cartridge in my mouth and, like, get a live reaction. You said for the podcast.
Damn, I don't remember. I just completely lost my train of thought. I friggin' balls.
Well, no, take all the time you need, man. It's not like we're doing a podcast or nothing. And I'm gonna be completely silent and force it onto you to start the conversation again. Go.
Donald, what do you think about Shallot and Sparking Zero and the changes they made?
Changes were great. Shallot is whatever. I mean, it's whatever. Charging $3 for them, so I don't really care. Yeah, I got nothing to say on Shallot, but everything else, like, it's really cool for Kagi, Sai, Alejandro. It's cool for that reason alone, to me. And the character, whatever. But the changes, yeah, the changes are huge. It actually made that game pretty fun for the first time in a long time. I do think there still needs to be more party gamification. I still think there needs to be more, you know, different avenues to play the same kind of content. But for the first time in a long time, I turned on Sparking Zero and I smiled. I was like, oh yeah, dude, that was pretty good. And I was like, man, I kind of want to record another one. Like, that was, do you know how long it's been since I've ever said that? It was insane. What about you? Did you, because we did a squad video on it too.
We did, yeah. And then I did a Shallot video too, man. What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, I saw that.
A lot of people in my comments were like, Nano did not read the patch notes. And I did read them, but I didn't fully comprehend that everyone was set on a playing like level field in single battles, which, yes, did make for a much better experience for me going online with Shallot. And also, I fought a variety of characters in that video, and it wasn't just the same old, which is definitely what this is there to, like, invoke. And what I think you've kind of been saying from the beginning about this game specifically, I feel like that was you that was kind of like an advocate for not wanting it to be the way it has been. I saw a lot of people up in arms about that change, but I don't really think...
I didn't see that many people up in arms about it, well, but yeah, no, there were some.
Zero in a positive.
Well, that's also true. That's also true. Unfortunately,
it is what it is. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. It is what it is. I think Shallot's cool. I really, really, really do wish that he had his transformations, but it is just so cool to me to see that dude leave Dragon Ball Legends. Like, that is such a cool thing, because he felt like a character that would be forever trapped on Legends. And I think he's a really cool character. He's another pure Saiyan. Of course, again, he's voiced by a friend of ours. So that's really neat. And so to see him be outside of that game, and I think it looks great. Some people on my comment section didn't. I think his model looks really good in Sparking Zero. What do you think?
Yeah, like, during some of his super moves, he looks really cool. Other than that, I wouldn't say he looks any more less good than most characters.
Well,
but
yeah, but
I think he looks in line. Like, some people, when he first got revealed, people were like, he looks like a mod. I don't think he looks like a mod. I would say he fits right in. And then in the best of times, like, his strike super, I think he looks really good. His ultimate is, it's a nice reference, but it's a little bland, but that's literally the reference. So I definitely think they cheaped out with that one. But the reference is so good that I'm letting it off the hook, honestly.
Oh, I remembered what the gaming is more of a luxury now thing was what I was wanting to expand on a little more. I now remember what I was trying to say. I think the point I would land on is that if anything, it's just the same as it's always been. But I feel like gaming is more accessible now than it has ever been, because it's available in so many forms, right? Like, you can play like on a mobile device that's probably like worth not, like, you could go pick up a phone that is probably like 10 years old. They can still run tons of games. It'd be emulate tons of games that you can probably get for, I mean, dude, phones, the way technology moves, like an iPhone from 2 years ago is worth like 20% of what somebody paid for it, you know, sort of thing. Sorry. These are probably bad references for most of you, bad points. But all I'm trying to say is, at least I grew up, and the broader discussion of gaming back in the day, like, these games that we enjoyed playing back then, we probably wouldn't enjoy as much now, because we have so much variety and the ability to play all these different games, including free games. There are games that you wouldn't even give the time of day that's all you had, because that was the game that your mom or dad or whoever bought for you, or you saved up your money to go buy, and that was the game you were playing for the next 2 to 3 months. Even if it wasn't even a game, like it was a game that we would consider now to be like a 2-day game, like you could beat it in 2 days and you move on to the next thing, you go back to your free to play battle royale experience. This is a game that you would have, you just have to play for like 2 to 3 months. So like you'd beat that game on easy, medium, difficult, hard. You'd play, you'd unlock all the skins you could, because skins used to be a thing you could just unlock from playing the game. You do everything you could in that game until you're like, damn, man, maybe it is time to go ahead and get a new game that you can beat in like 6 hours. Because games back in the day, like average median of a game, it was an RPG, was like 68 hours, bro. Like that was it. Like six, like they were all under 10-hour experiences, bro. Like,
yeah, I don't even care. Like, I get. Like, this kind of opinion's a hard one to have because it's literally just, like, who's going to say, like, I don't want things to cost less money? Nobody. But I'll just flat-out disagree with gaming being a luxury. Is at all a statement that should ever be made. Gaming is the most accessible, the most free of charge, and the easiest to get into it has ever been in the entire history of human civilization. I completely disagree with that sentence. Like, again, games costing money, like, for sales. I agree with gaming's a luxury in the sense that you have to pay for like the new consoles and stuff. But bro, if like, let's be real, if you don't want to do things the exact legal way, and I'm not even saying just like, you know, emulating it yourself, but there are Game Boys you can find on a TikTok that have hundreds of games that I would have never had the opportunity to do. Or even when you buy like a Switch 2, if you do buy a Switch 2 and you get the expansion pack, you have access to GameCube games, all this other shit, everything else. The only gaming is a luxury thing is like the cost of brand new games, and mostly on just Nintendo Switch. Because to be honest, the Steam Summer Sale is happening right now as we're recording this, Nano. And I just bought 7 or 8 games that are really, really like big games. And I got them all for $100. $100 for 8 games, and one of them
that was like $500 back in the day, dog.
One of them was Last of Us Remastered, which was probably the most expensive game I bought for $30, which was a scam. I wouldn't even recommend paying that much during the Steam Summer Sale, but I really wanted to see how it looks on my computer, so I ate it. Triangle Strategy, which was like an RPG. Do you remember this game? Like, I remember it getting promoted and people talked about it. I literally just bought it.
It's a 2D HD game, right?
Yeah, I just bought it because people talked about it when it was coming out, and then I never heard about it ever again, ever. Nothing on the quality of the game. I'm just... it's interesting to me. I want to check it out. I don't know, man. I disagree with games of luxury. Like, I just started playing Chrono Trigger for the first time. That's been fun.
There's also going to be comments that are like, well, of course you two are saying that. I mean, again, I grew up where I got like 3 to 4, like my entire PS2 catalog of owning that system for like 6 years was under 20 games. Like, that's how I grew up. So,
I think that's how everybody grew up. Like,
I don't know.
Unless you were like mega rich, bro. Like,
I was not.
I remember, bro, back in the day, old head. This has been an old head podcast. But whenever, well, this was again very rare. I've never heard somebody say this except I remember like one friend. Like, people having more than a console was crazy.
Oh yeah, no, you literally got the console you got, and that was it.
Like that's why console wars were a thing, bro. And I got fucked because my family picked up the Wii in the next era, and I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So I played the Wii for like years, and then eventually I got an Xbox 360, and thankfully that's when gaming was truly peak. But yeah, no, like I just, even if it is like, again, it does cost money, but it's not more than a luxury than ever before. I think it's exactly pretty much the same.
That's what I'm saying. At the most you could say is it's the same luxury it's always ever been, right?
Like, yeah, and like obviously you don't need gaming to survive, so by nature it is a luxury, it's a want, not a need. But like it, even if you did want it to be, Fortnite is free. Fortnite is the ultimate gotcha moment in these, because Fortnite's a genuinely pretty like great game for free. Like,
yeah, you don't have to buy skins. You could run around as Jonesy.
Part seven of back in the day, bro. A free game was like complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, was Happy Wars free? Happy Wars was the best free game I ever played in my life, bro. And I'm thinking it was free. It might have cost like $5. Price. What I'm gonna look up. Was Happy Wars free?
Dude, you don't. I think it's funny you're doing this, but there was no free games when we were growing up that were of the caliber of Fortnite or Apex or
Call
of
Duty Warzone. Like, I'm just using it as Like, if you're a younger guy, look up Happy
Roblox,
Wars.
Like, that shit.
Look up Happy Wars and know that me and my friends got hype as fuck off Happy Wars. Why? Because it was free. Was it that great? Well, I'm not going to sit here and say no, because Happy Wars was amazing. You know, it was.
I have no idea what the fuck Don is talking about. I'm just going to let you guys know.
Exactly, bro. But, like, this shit was amazing.
Yeah, 20, and it 2012? Was ass. Okay.
Yeah. Watch somebody upload Happy Wars on Xbox Series X. I'm about to take a look at this.
You guys, some of you guys will probably call it dog shit, but like IGN, by the way, gave it a 4 out of 10. Not happy. You guys will probably call it dog shit, but like League of Legends is a free game. like League of Legends is a completely free game. Valorant is a completely free game. And like to run Valorant, like a fucking toaster can run Valorant. Like you can genuinely build like consoles. You can build a piece. Like, I don't know, dude. I think shit is a lot more accessible than it's ever been. But again, at the end of the day, like Dotto already said, and I said too, it is the larger. You don't need to do it. It's kind of like,
I do think, I want to say my last piece on this, Nato, not to cut you off, but like my whole thing is just like, I guess I disagree with this stuff in general because it always comes off as like false criticism. It's like, you know, Randy Pitchford's comments on Borderlands, like true fans would spend the $80 anyway. You can't say that. But that literally is just true. It's not that gaming's a luxury, like, but it's just that people didn't want to buy that game, which is based, and I agree with that. I don't want to buy shit games either. But the problem isn't the price, it's that they're shit. If a game was good enough, people are gonna buy it. Or you are gonna buy it. Like that, it's just the way it is. If you want the game and you think it's good, you will buy it. And all it means is other games probably won't get bought in their place. That's like what I said. When games jumped up to $70, $80, like, fuck that. I'm not buying a game to give it a shot. Like Metroid Prime, the new one that they're making. I'm not going to buy that game until it comes out and 18 people that I closely know say, actually, it's amazing. You have to give it a chance.
I'm not like you. I'm buying that game ASAP.
See, I'm not, bro. I'm not going to do that. They got to
prove it. Somebody convince you to play Donkey Kong?
No. Because I want to play Donkey Kong. But and that's what I'm saying. Donkey Kong 70. I want to play Donkey Kong. If Donkey Kong was 80, I'm buying Donkey Kong. It's the truth. Now, I don't want Nintendo to hear that, but it is just the truth.
Wait, the truth?
Wait a second. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Truth to the Podcast. First ever guest.
Dude.
No, I'm just kidding. He's not here.
This is a crazy thing to say like this deep in, but two things. First off, I do want to get some guests. I know if you guys watched the podcast about a year ago, I was very anti-guests. I'm actually more pro-guests now. This is crazy, by the way. People can change. I don't know. That's weird. That's a very, very foreign concept to most people on the internet. So there's that. Secondly, dude, people keep saying, where's Z Rewatch? Dog, it's happening. I don't like, it didn't happen today, but like literally last week, where's the Z Rewatch? Last week's episode was a Z Rewatch episode, man. Like, dang,
that's just the internet, man. I can't even be too upset because we do upload the podcast weekly. I've gotten comments like that when like, where's Fighters? And I uploaded Fighters yesterday. It's like, bro, I uploaded yesterday. I'm still uploading it today. It's just, I'm late, bro. Like that's what I'm like, damn, bro, you impatient. But good problems to have at the end of the day.
It is. But yeah, I mean, Z-Rewatch is always happening. I guess like I'll do my best in the future episodes to probably mention it a little bit faster. I think I used to do that a little more as opposed to trying to stay on point with the topic that we are starting the podcast off with. But anywho, I'll probably try to be better about that in the future. I also really want, I got to talk to Tosi about this, but I want to bring back chapters. I think Dotto's not pro chapters, but I like having chapters just because, honestly, I would like to start a clip channel for Key Moments, and it would be really way easier to clip out segments if
I'm not anti chapters at all.
If we just did chapters, by the way, Dotto, I think this is episode 90 of this podcast. So like,
holy shit, we're coming up on big 100.
We are, dude. I feel like we gotta do something special for big 100. But anywho. All that to
we
say,
should cancel the podcast at episode 99. That's what I think we should do for the big 100. Like, we should cancel
that
it.
That honestly, that'd be kind of
and then 100 can be the revival episode, like 10 years from now.
Okay.
All right, let's do it. Let's.
You guys
yeah.
didn't really tap in on Key Moments. You got like 9 episodes left, and we're putting this like 50 minutes into a podcast. So like, only a portion of you even heard this. Dotto, I feel like there's some bonus of rumbling. How do you feel?
I'm feeling good, man. This is a pretty long episode already.
Well, Guys, so we might as well start doing this. If you want to,
yeah,
see
we might
that.
As well keep podcasting, but just a little something extra for the members. You know, we're not going to discuss
there's
anything.
More, there's more topics we've not even gotten to on my topic list. So
we have extra topics.
We have more topics.
Nato, please give me a taste of what topic is to come. Please, just
what
a taste.
What specifically is the Arxis event that we're going to discuss?
Oh, I don't. Never mind. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Never mind. I'm good.
Anyways, if you guys want more of the podcast, just become a key member. Go over there. If you're already key members, then there's a bonus waiting for you right after this one.
This shouldn't even be bonus. It's a waste of money. Don't spend your money.
That's why I hear some music, man. What is that,
yeah,
dude?
Yeah, I don't know what that
means. They're
pulling
the curtains on us, open them back up for us to discuss the Arxis event. Let's go. Okay.
All right. See you later, guys.